Peace be with you all. The scripture today has already eloquently interpreted by Malia, right, with the children. The first one is from Isaiah, and it is from the 43rd chapter. Now, these again, both scriptures are from prophets who were speaking to the peoples in Israel and Judah, and especially in Jerusalem, during a time when they were occupied. Of course, when is Israel almost not occupied by many, many different forces? But in this time, there were the Assyrians, and then after the Assyrians, there were the Babylonians, and then you had the Persians. Long time. And so the prophets, the many, many prophets in the Hebrew Testament are particularly important, both for the people of Jerusalem, but they're also important for us today, and so I read to you from them. But now, says God, the one who created you, Jacob, the one who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you won't be scorched, and flame won't burn you. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You, listen to this, you are precious in my eyes. You are honored, and I love you. And then Micah, during a similar time, we don't know if they knew each other or not, but they probably, one or the other, heard of the other. Micah 6, verse 8. You'll recognize it, I'm sure. God has told you, O human one, what is good and what God requires of you: to do justice, to love kindness or mercy. Or in the Bible I was reading at Becca and Tom's house, embrace faithful love. So to do justice, embrace faithful love, and walk humbly with your God. I'm going to try it from here, and if my eyes that are 40 years older than when I saw you last won't let me manage it, then I'll go up there where it's closer, okay? I don't think I even wore glasses when I last preached from here. Yeah. So anyway, during the COVID pandemic, something we're done with the pandemic, but not COVID, during that period in Green Valley, Arizona, that's where Paula and I lived during that time. And I know, Green Valley, Arizona, it sounds like an oxymoron, right? There are very green places in Arizona. And actually, we had pecan trees and mountains that were green. If you've ever been there, it's high desert. And there's even higher mountains there, too. Well, when Paula and I were living during that time, during that pandemic, we hung a banner outside our house. People were walking around a lot outside because we all had to get out a little, right? And so we hung this powerful banner, this colorful banner, outside our house. We also chalked on our driveway. I haven't done chalking for eons since I was in campus ministry, but it was fun. Anyway, we chalked our driveway, and it was a way to have conversation with our neighbors, to say something about our faith as all of that pandemic was going on. It was a way to witness our faith in the presence of so much fear. Fear just ate up people's lives during that time, along with grief and hurt and a lot of things. And we wanted to witness as well to the resultant hatred that is often the result of fear. It was rampant in our town and in our world during that suffering time. And so That banner, this is what it read, and I bet a lot of you have seen it. It's black and very colorful then writing, and it said, Black Lives Matter. It said, science is real. Yeah, you seen some of this? Love is love. Women's rights are human rights. And I might add, the banner didn't have it, but I might almost add, damn it. God can let us say that. And kindness. Kindness is everything. Now, you can romanticize a lot of that, but I feel the fierce aha and yeses in all of that. And I hope you do too. Well, I hadn't thought about that banner for a while, and it faded. The colors grew very light. And so we took it down after about a year, and we sent it to the place that old banners go. And I hadn't thought about it until recently, until I read this scripture in preparation for worshiping with you. And then that banner came to mind again, just sort of emerged before my eyes as I thought about celebrating 100 years of the history of this pretty incredible congregation, this community of faith, Church of the Crossroads, United Church of Christ. And now I think of those phrases on that banner, and I hear in current vernacular and sound bites, not political correctness, though that's there, but more importantly, I hear a strong echo of the words of Isaiah and Micah. Do you hear it? If not, let me say a little bit more. I hear Isaiah speaking, especially to the Jewish elite of Jerusalem in particular. And please, when I say that, hear also not just about Jewish people, but about the privileged elite of each and every culture and nation. Isaiah was speaking to the privileged elite and was chastening them for their arrogance. I told him I had a big voice. Their arrogance and their pride. Even under the occupation of Assyrians and Babylonians and Persia, even under the occupation of those who were more powerful than them, Isaiah was saying to the elite of his faith, you've gotten a little bit arrogant. You're not paying attention to what God has taught us. And so Isaiah sought to remind them and remind us of God's plans for the earth, for the world, for their community. Isaiah reminded them, be warriors of peace. Isaiah reminded them, be people of health, of shalom for all, and I mean all. To be and to provide, to practice, to walk the walk of peace and sanctuary. I heard those words in the litanies led by Francis this morning. I heard them when Linda had sent me some copies of the worship you had earlier this year about your 100th anniversary. Peace and sanctuary came up, hospitality again and again in the songs, in the scripture, and I'm sure in the preaching of Neil and Tony. Peace and sanctuary, not privilege, inclusion, not privilege, nor even tolerance, not walls that divide, not even tolerance, but to embrace each other and the other. Do you know what I mean? To embrace each other and the other, to welcome Jews and non-Jews, even the occupiers. That one's a toughie. I have a really hard time with it. But we need to hear in that even other Christians and, of course, non-Christians, or rather than even doing it from being a Christian, those who have faiths in God different than ours. And so God's plan is that we embrace, we touch, we eat with, and tell story with each other. We listen. That's God's plan, right? For Isaiah and for God in Jesus of Nazareth, the plan is simple, or not so simple, huh? Exuberant embrace. Exuberant embrace. A little bit like passing of the peace around here. Sometimes it has to be a little gentle, too. Be careful with each other. Or as the good news of the modern UCC puts it, extravagant welcome. You've heard those words, I'm sure, many times. But hear them again. Are you ready? Take a breath. Extravagant welcome. Remember, this is not just our house, but God's house. Our house and God's house. And God's house is meant, are you ready? Again, sort of open yourself up for change, for delight in an ever-widening circle. When I last preached here, my sermon was my coming out sermon at the Church of the Crossroads before it was open and affirming. Your embrace of me was just another part of that ever-widening, racially diverse, multicultural, peacekeeping congregation community that those students who started here were trying to found. They were trying to break something open in the congregational church, the UCC, even here in Hawaii. We owe them a lot. Our house, our houses, are always going to reflect some of who we are, our culture, our personality, right? They're always going to reflect that. Every house of worship reflects those who built it, who establish it. But God's house is meant for change, for delight in that ever-widening circle. And Isaiah says to us, do not fear what God wants for us. Don't fear it. I have redeemed you, and I have called each one of you and everyone who might come in those doors. I've called you by name, us, them, the wonderful ghosts and spirits of this place, and the spirits yet to join. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. I am with you through raging waters and horrible fires. And in this moment, I can't help but think, and I know you do, of those in Maui, especially in West Maui. And I believe deeply, and I hope that those who experience that will come to know God's presence with them in that horror and that tragedy. Because Isaiah says, I am with you through war, through famine, through fires, through violence, through hatred. I am with you. God says, I know it too. I suffer with you. And I promise. And I promise. That's an awfully mighty God. Yeah? Wow. Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I will give you rest. Now that last part, that's a whole nother sermon. That's about resting sanctuary. But we won't go there. Come follow me. Okay, very last part of all of this. How the heck do we do that? Right? Sounds easy, sort of. It's not. How do we practice being sanctuary? That is certainly a call of all to all Christians, and it's especially so the call here at Church of the Crossroads. And it's a fine balancing act, being sanctuary. We need each other, and we need new others, and we need God. We need God. And so the words of Micah also ring in my heart. Do justice, love kindness and mercy, embrace faithful love, and walk humbly with your God, the God you know, who knows you, who's called you by name. Sort of like Malia was saying, whose are you? To whom do you belong? The message that Micah prophesied is ours to embody and to share, to embrace. Entonces, as we say in Mexico, where I live now, entonces, then, pray these words at least this week, every day. Do justice. Love mercy. Walk with God. Simple. Every day. Hang it on your refrigerator. Hum it to yourself, because we all know the song too, right? Do that. Promise yourself this week. Say it with me right now once. Do justice. Love kindness. Walk humbly with God. And then we have just one more thing to learn. And Isaiah is the one who brings us back to it and tells us, in order to live God's way, we need to embody this. You, Francis, you, all of us, you are precious. You are precious, and I love you. That's what God says. You're precious, and I love you. And that's probably the hardest thing of all for us to understand. But without it, without that, believing that, it will be hard, if not impossible, for us to exuberantly welcome and make peace for all. Amen.